The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
We welcome our podcast audience, we welcome our YouTubers, and we welcome Facebook Live today. I want to be closing up our series that we began. We did a three-part. We did three parts of this. We're going on our fourth and final message on new insights into the days of Lot. Now, for you guys that are new, maybe to the podcast section or to the Facebook Live here, I want to encourage you to go to our YouTube channel. You can find that at End Time Headlines on YouTube. You can go to our podcast. You can find that if you want to listen. If you have the app, you can click on watch and you can watch it there. We started this series. We've done three messages on it. This is our fourth one. And prior to this, we did a four-part series on new insights into the days of Noah. I believe you'll be blessed by that. Please go and watch that if you've not done it. So today, we're going to close up this series on the days of Lot with our fourth and final message. Today, I want to deal with soon the door will shut. I believe that's what we called this or titled this, or the day the door shuts. That's what we call this, the day the door shuts. So by definition, I looked this up, and by definition, a door's essential and primary purpose, listen to this, is to provide security by controlling access to the doorway or portal. Let me read that again. A door, the essential and primary purpose of a door is to provide security by controlling access to the doorway or to a portal. That's very interesting when we get into some of the things. I want to show you three incidences. Two from the Old Testament, two from the New Testament. Now, one of these, for some reason, it just completely slipped my mind to put it on here. So I want to bring up that scripture right in front of me so I can have this. So let me go to the Old Testament. I want to show you this kind of this parallel theme of a door shutting and why we want to emphasize that. So the first place that we see this, and again, all this ties in again with the days of Noah and Lot, and I believe there's parallels to this that I believe are applicable to us today, and this is where we're going to go with this. This is Genesis 7, 13 through 24. On the very same day that Noah and Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife and three wives of his sons was with them, they entered the ark. They and every beast after its kind, all cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, and every bird after its kind, every bird of every sort. And they went into the ark to Noah, two by two, of all flesh, in which is the breath of life. So those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in, and they went in as God had commanded him. Listen to this. Here it is. And the Lord shut him in. Question, how did the Lord shut Noah and his family into the ark? He did it supernaturally by shutting the door. Somebody say the door. I want to get this into your spirit. So now the flood was on the earth for 40 days. The waters increased and lifted up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and greatly increased on the earth, and the ark moved about on the surface of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills under the whole earth were covered. Verse 20, waters prevailed 15 cubits upward, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, birds and cattle and beasts and every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth and every man. All in which nostrils was the breath of the spirit of life, all that was on the dry land died. So the Lord destroyed all living things in which were on the face of the earth, both man and cattle, creeping thing and birds of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark, somebody say in the ark, remained alive, and the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. So again, here you have God speaking to a remnant to get in the ark, and he shut the door, preserved them through wrath, through judgment, and they remained while everything else was wiped out. All right, now let's go down to Genesis 19. We're going to go up, move forward to Genesis 19. This is in the days of Lot. Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening. These angels, by the way, were sent by the Lord so that they could observe the conditions and the climate of what was going on in the cities of the plains. We discussed this in our other three episodes that we did on this series, but they were sent as witnesses to testify whether or not the things that was being said of the wickedness that was being said of, testified of, and even the cries that went out from the remnant of the cities of the plains, that they were crying out because of the bondage, crying out because of the wickedness, and it was going up before the Lord. It went up before his throne, and thus God sent two angels to go down into the cities of the plains to see as a eyewitness personally to testify whether these things were true or whether they were not. So that's a little bit of a backdrop on that. So the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. And when Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face towards the ground. Again, I want to say this here. Lot knew that these were two angels. And he said, "Hear now, my lords, please turn in your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet, and then you may rise early and go on your way." And they said, "No, we will spend the night in the open square." Again, on our last segment, I believe it was the last segment we did last week, I talked about the reason why those two angels wanted to spend the night in the square. According to the book of Yasher, which is Jewish history of the account of the affairs of Sodom and Gomorrah, it said by the decree of four judges of the cities of the plains, they were erecting beds in the streets, and the men of Sodom was committing abominable acts in the streets, in the beds with strangers that came in the cities. So when these two angels came into the cities, these men thought that they were just strangers. They thought they were men. So these angels said, if it's true of what it's being said of the cities of the plains, we are going to be met with these same affairs or these same situations. So this is why Lot and said, no. He insisted strongly, Genesis 19:3, turn into him or come into his house and enter the house. So then he made them a feast. He baked them unleavened bread and they ate. And now before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people, notice it didn't say women. I'm going to say it again. The men of Sodom, both old, young, and all the people from every quarter surrounded the house. And they called to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them." Now, in my Bible or in the translation in which I'm reading to you here from my tablet, they've inserted the word carnally because the word know here, the connotation is to know them intimately like Adam knew his wife. So Lot went out to them through, who's them? The men of Sodom. Lot went out to them through the doorway. Somebody say the doorway. And he shut the door behind him. Somebody say the door. And said, "Please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly. See, now I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please let me bring them out to you, and you may do to them as you wish, only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof." Lot had already known that these men, old and young, of Sodom and Gomorrah did not have any interest in these daughters or these women. They were only interested in the men of the house or of these angels. Okay, so that's why Lot made that offer. And they called a lot and said to him, where are the, or, okay, let me get back down here. Verse 9. And they said, stand back. And then they said, this one came and in to stay here. And he keeps acting as a judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them. So they pressed hard against the man, Lot. So they pressed hard against Lot and came near to break down the door. But the men, and remember, these are angels, but the men reached out their hands and pulled Lot into the house with them. Oh, come on, somebody. And shut the door. Somebody say, shut the door. Notice again, who was shutting the door? You say, well, it was the two men that shut the door. Yes, but these are not ordinary men. These are supernatural beings. These are heavenly angels sent by God who they had access to open the door. They had access to shut the door. So the Bible says they shut the door. Notice this. They shut the door after Lot and his family was on the inside and they were in refuge from what was on the outside. Oh, come on. I wish somebody would follow along with what I'm saying today. So listen, it says the angels struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they became weary trying to find the door. Oh, come on. I believe as we get closer to the end of the age, the closer to this thing wrapping up, we're going to see more and more people become weary because they're trying to find the door. Oh, Jesus said, I am the door. I'm the keeper of the door. I'm the door of the sheepfold. No man can enter in lest he come through me. If any man tries to come up over the wall, if he tries to enter in the back door, if he tries to go any other way, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If anyone tries to come in any other way and try to access, they are but a thief and they will be cast out. I know somebody's following along with me today. Now I want to take you to the New Testament. Somebody say the New Testament. In Matthew 25, Jesus gives a parable of the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins who take their lamps and they go out to meet the bridegroom. And now 5 of them were wise and 5 will be foolish. And those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, and I believe we're living in the delayed timeline. I said, we're living in the delayed timeline. The bridegroom is coming. He's going to come back in an hour and a day that you know not. But just because he's not here, just because he hasn't come back yet, doesn't mean he's not. It just means that the bridegroom is delayed. It says, while he's delayed, they all slumbered and they slept. That tells me that the longer the bridegroom delays, come on, the more apt that the bride is to be in slumbered, to be in apathy, to be in lukewarmness, and to fall asleep. And we're seeing it right now. I'm telling you, we're all being victim to this. The scenes that we're seeing, the things that we're seeing played out on live on television, the condition of our nation, the civil unrest, the lawlessness, the wickedness, the racial tensions, the division, the discord, the disunity, the blood, the shedding of innocent blood, the anger, the lawlessness, the abominations, the desolations, all these things is taking a toll on the bride of Christ. And the longer the bridegroom delays, we become weary and well-doing. But listen, it says, and at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. And then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. By the way, this is a prophecy. I know it's a parable, but it's also a prophetic word. It's a prophecy because it was foretold as a parable, but it's also a prophecy. It's foretelling of an event that's going to happen. And if you'll listen with spiritual ears and discernment, you'll discern how it's going to be at the coming of the Son of Man. It said there will be a midnight cry. Doesn't mean he's coming at midnight, because if he comes at midnight on in your time frame, maybe my time frame is probably not going to be midnight. And if he comes at midnight on my time frame, it's not going to be midnight on your time frame. The point, the emphasis here is not that he's coming at midnight on your clock. It means that he's coming in an hour and a day that you know not. It says, behold, he's coming out to meet him. And then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps is going out. That tells me that there's half the church. Come on, there was five foolish and five wise. That tells me that when the Lord does come back, that half of the church is not even going to be ready. They're not going to have any oil in their lamp. They've been cradled to sleep. They've been offended. They've been living in apathy and lukewarmness. They've backslid. But the wise answer said, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, oh, I said, while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in. I said, those who were ready went in. Do I have anybody that's watching today by Facebook Live and by YouTube and listening by podcast that are ready to go in the door? Come on. Are you ready to go in? Are you ready to go into the bride chambers? And those who were ready, is anybody ready to go in? They went in with him to the wedding. Listen to this. Look at this next part. And the door was shut. Somebody say, the door was shut. Somebody say, the door is about to shut. Oh, I know this is typical charismatic Pentecostal preaching. I get that. But listen, I'm going to get myself stirred up today if this don't do nothing for you, because I need it. Listen, I've had a long, hard week. I know you guys don't know this because I don't broadcast everything out there, but our family and many of us in our family, we went through a pretty hard time last Wednesday because someone very close to us at about 33 years of age died suddenly, went on to be with the Lord, and it's been hard. He's with the Lord, but for us here, it's been tough. It's been hard. I'm going to be real with you. Honestly, In the flesh, I didn't even want to do a podcast this week. That's why we've only done one this whole week. Because we've been recovering from this. There was a funeral. There was a viewing. There was a lot of tears shed, a lot of grief, sorrow. But there was joy at the same time, knowing that they're absent from the body but they're present with the Lord. But guys, listen, I need this as much as you need this. Come on, iron sharpens iron. I know this is weird, and only preachers are going to understand this, but many times when I'm down and I'm in a low place, many times I just preach myself happy. Come on. David said, when I couldn't find nobody else to encourage me, David said when he was in the low place, when he was walking through the valley of the shadow of death, when Saul was after him, when everybody was out to kill him, when he's out to frame him, when it looked like it was the darkest hour, the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. So I know that it's dark right now. I know that it looks bleak right now. I know that it looks like despair right now. And I know that it somewhat looks hopeless for our country, but my hope, come on, is in the rock of ages. My hope is in the foundation that cannot be shaken. My hope is not in a president. My hope is not in who is elected as president. My hope is not in the White House. It's not in the government. It's not in anything else, but come on, the rock of ages. Oh, it's in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's in He that which was, which is, and is to come. And I know that the fact that it's looking this bad tells me that, come on, even in the darkest hour, I've got to remember that the bridegroom is coming and that the door is about to shut. I said the door is about to shut. So watch this. I want to get back to the text of Matthew 25. The door was shut. And it says afterward, somebody say afterward, after the door was shut, the other virgins came saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Why are they saying, Lord, Lord, open to us? Because it was the Lord who closed the door. The Lord closed the door of the ark. The Lord, through angels, shut the door to Lot's house. And here we see that the Lord opened the door to the bride, and then he shut the door behind the bride. So they say, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said to them, as surely I say unto you, I do not know you. Verse 13, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Now go to me, turn with me to the book of Revelation chapter 4, the book of Revelation chapter 4. I'm going to pull some stuff out of this. I'm getting ready to land this plane. All right, so we're going to take it home. Revelation 4, this is John the Revelator speaking. He says, after these things, I looked. It's interesting. He says, after these things. So some scholars believe that these things are, if you go to Revelation chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, John talks about the seven churches, and some interpret that as the seven church ages, or it's the seven characteristics of the last day churches. I believe it's both. I believe John gives us a depiction of the church, characteristics and the climate of that, of the churches in the end days. And for example, I believe we're in the church of Laodicea. We're in the Laodicea age, where we're lukewarm, we're apathy. We think that we've got it all together and we don't need anything. But in fact, the Bible says you're poor and wretched, and he desires that you buy from him. But some say that these things are this. But also, could it be possible that John is, watch this. Let me read this and then I'll go back and point this out. After these things, I looked, John is speaking, and behold, a door standing open. Somebody say a door. And this door was in heaven. And watch this. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking. Somebody say it was like a trumpet speaking with me. And John said he heard what the voice was saying. Watch this. John said there's a door in heaven. And he said, there's a voice speaking that he said sounds like a trumpet. And here's what the voice is saying. Come up here and I will show you things which must take place after this. After what? After he goes through the door and the door is shut. Oh, come on, somebody. Verse 2. So you see all that? Then you go to verse 2 and it says, immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one who sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardis stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. And around the throne, there were 24 thrones. And on the thrones, I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes. And they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now, I'm going to give you my opinion of what John saw and experienced. You don't have to agree with me. Don't really matter if you do or don't, because I'm going to preach it. This is my message, and I'm going to preach it the way I want to preach it. I believe John was experiencing in the future. This is a future event that has not taken place, that Paul spoke about to the church of Thessalonica and to the church of Corinth. He spoke about an event that is future that has not happened yet. And I'm going to give that to you. And it's in 1 Thessalonians 4, 15 and 17 and 1 Corinthians 50 or 1 Corinthians. I messed that up. I'm just going to read the scripture on that because I messed that up. You guys on YouTube, you'll see the correction on there on your screen. But it's in 1 Corinthians. I promise you that. All right, 1 Thessalonians 4, 15 and 17. This is Paul writing to the church of Thessalonica. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. And now I'm going to read this. This is Paul addressing the church of Corinth, and it's the same event with a different angle. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. We all shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this incorruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Now notice, let me back up. I want to show you this again, and I want to show you the parallel here. John the Revelator says there was a door standing open in heaven. He heard a voice. The voice sounded like a trumpet, and the voice said, come up here. And as a result, John said he was immediately in the spirit and before the throne room of God. Now we go here in 1 Thessalonians 4. Watch this. It says that the Lord will descend from heaven. He said there will be a voice, and it will be as of a trumpet. And he says the dead in Christ will rise, and those who are alive and remain shall be caught up with the Lord in the spirit, because Paul said to the church of Corinth, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So your flesh and blood will not be caught up. It will be your spirit. And John, the Revelator, said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day when I heard the voice as of a trumpet say, come up here. And by the way, just want to throw this out there, from Revelation 4 on, nowhere specifically is the church, the ecclesia, mentioned from Revelation 4 all the way on. Why are they not mentioned? Because A, the church is not going to go through the tribulation. I don't have time. Listen, it would take me an hour just to preach that. And if you go back and listen to our other segments, I'd talk about that emphatically. Number one, the church is not going to go through the tribulation. Number two, the church won't be there to go through the tribulation because they will be caught up in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, in a tomos second. And I just showed you and described to you and echoed the words of the Apostle Paul of how it's going to happen. But don't miss what I'm trying to tell you today. And that is the common denominator. There seems to be a parallel that deals with a door and the Lord and it being open and being shut. And from everything I just showed you, you don't want to be on the outside of the door when it shuts, but you want to be on the inside. Oh, do I got anybody that wants to be on the inside? I want to be on the inside of the ark. I want to be on the inside of the bride chamber. I want to be on the inside of heaven when it all goes down. I want to have some inside information from the Holy Spirit. I know that we're not going to know the day. I know that we're not going to know the hour, but come on, the Holy Spirit said, I'm going to give you some inside information. I'm going to let you know, not the day nor the hour, because Jesus said, I'm not going to know it. He said, the angels are not going to know it. He said, only the Father is going to know it. But he did say this. He did say, according to the word of the Lord, that we are not in darkness. Come on, that this day should overtake us as a thief in the night. Come on, because we are of the day. We are children of the day. We're not children of the night. This is why he continually emphasizes to watch. and be sober and come on and keep watching and keep being sober. So here's what I want to, this is where I want to close it today. I want to ask you today, my friend, you're watching by YouTube, watching by Facebook Live and listening by podcast. Which side of the door are you on? Are you, come on, are you, since we're talking about doors in the book of Revelation, one of the churches, one of the seven churches mentioned by John said in one part that the Lord shows up and he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That what's interesting of all the doors here, that door, every scholar will tell you the emphasis of that door there is not a physical door with a doorknob and a lock, but that door there is in depiction of your heart. Come on, who am I talking to today? The door, come on, the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit is on the other side of the door of your heart today, and he's knocking. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears, let him open the door. Friend, the doorknob is on the inside and not on the outside. Listen, you say, well, can I prove it to you? Because it's the, come on, God can walk, Jesus can walk through a wall. He can open any door he wants. But he's given you and I the free will. He said, I'm knocking on your heart's door today. You have access to turn the knob, unlock that door, and let me in. Come on, I want to know who's watching today, who's listening today, who's willing to let him in. Let him into your home. Let him into your heart. Let him into your lives. Let him into your marriage. Let him into your mess. Let him into your dysfunction. Let him into your broken business and your broken ministry. Come on, let him into your addiction. Let him into your strongholds. Oh, you've shut everybody else out. You've closed the doors on everybody else. But I'm going to tell you, we may not be able to fix it. Some program may not be able to fix it. A pill may not fix it. A drink may not fix it. Or something I can roll up and smoke may not be able to fix your dysfunction and your problems and your depression, everything you're going. But I'm going to tell you, there is one man who can fix it. And he's standing at the other end of your door and he's knocking. And his name is Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, friend, don't wait until the end. Don't wait until the door is shut, because just like you don't want to be the five foolish virgins. You don't want to be like the men of Noah's day that were pounding on the ark and they couldn't get in. You don't want to be, like those in the days of Lot that didn't even know what was about to take place. They didn't know it was about to rain fire and brimstone and destroy them all. But I'm going to tell you something. We, you, me, everyone listening and watching, God has given us a dispensation of grace. He's given us space to repent. He's given us a space to get right with him. But I've come with a sober warning today, and that is, the door is about to shut. Not just the door on your heart. I'm talking about the heavenly door is about to shut. This thing is about to wrap up. This thing is about to close. This thing is about to come to an end. And God's about to shut the door. And guys, I want you and me on the other end of that door when it shuts, because I want to be ready. I want to be willing. I want to be obedient. And I want to go out on the first, on the first boat that comes through. So right now, if you're watching, you're listening, I want to pray with you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, you see and you know those that are watching, those that are listening today, you know their hearts, you know their lives, and you see what side of the door they're on. I pray that as you reach through this broadcast, reach through this camera, reach through this microphone, reach right into their office, reach right into their home, reach right into their car, reach right into their living room, their kitchen, or wherever they're watching, wherever they're listening today. I'm asking, Lord, as you knock upon their heart, I pray that, Lord, that they would be willing to open that door and let you in so that you can change and transform their lives, that they may be born again, that they may be washed, that they may be ready, so that whether it be today, whether it be tomorrow, whether it be years from now, or whenever that day comes, they will not be caught off guard, and they will not be asleep, and they will have sufficient oil, and their lamps and their wicks will be trimmed, so that they would be watchful and be ready, so that when the bridegroom does show, they will hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter in, enter in." Come on, somebody. I pray for you today that that would be your heart's cry, and that you would let him into your heart. Father, touch them, meet them right where they're at today, in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Listen, friend, if you made that decision today, I want to welcome you to the family, welcome you to the body of Christ, the ecclesia. We're all brothers and sisters under one blood, under one banner. There's only one name given under heaven into which men must be saved, and it's the name of Yeshua, the name of Jesus. So I want to welcome you today. Again, if you'd like to know more about our ministry, if this is your first time, maybe listening, joining us, watching us, again, you can find more endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. You can visit our main website right there. Please do not forget to subscribe. You guys that have not downloaded our free app, please go to the Apple store, the Android store, just type in End Time Headlines and you're going to see our app. Download that. It's free. There's no charge to it. Get that. Subscribe to push notifications. You're going to get all of our breaking news and headlines. You're going to get our podcasts, our videos. You're going to keep up with everything we're doing in our ministry right there at your fingertips. And as always, guys, if this ministry has been a continual source of blessing to you week after week, it edifies you, it informs you, it equips you, whatever the case may be. Maybe for some of you, this is your home church. If it is, we welcome you. If you don't have a home church and you can't find a church and there's no spirit-filled, Bible-believing, doctrinally sound church, we welcome you to be a part of our family right here at End Time Headlines. And if you'd like to support us, you believe in what we're doing, we want to give you that opportunity. And you can do, if you're watching by Facebook Live, there's a link right underneath the description of this. Click on that link where it says support ETH. Click on that link. It's going to take you to a landing page. You can give electronically or you can give by check or money order. The address is right there on your screen where you can do that. You can become a monthly partner. And maybe you say, I want to help become a monthly partner and help ETH remain strong for the year 2021. You pray about that. We don't manipulate you. We ask that you be prayerful about that. What the Holy Spirit speaks to you, just be obedient to that. Give as the Lord has blessed you. And I promise you, according to the word, the Bible says, if you give, it shall be given back unto you, good measured, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And with the same measure that you give, it shall be given back unto you. So I firmly believe that. So again, you can give by check, money order, electronically, by the app, by main. There's all kinds of places and ways that you can give to our ministry to help support us. So again, from the bottom of our hearts, guys, here at End Time Headlines, we thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support of our ministry. And I don't want to make any promises if I will be on here on Friday. Like I said, again, pray for our family. It's been a rough week. So I cannot make any promises. We may just do one segment this week, and then we're going to kick off something new next week. If we can, we'll squeeze it in either tomorrow or Friday. If not, we will see you the next time we come on next week. So until then, guys, we love you. May the Lord bless you, keep you. May his countenance shine upon you and all that you do. In Jesus' name, God bless.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. Pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.